Last week we looked at tithing, the importance of putting into the storehouse the things necessary for us to do the business of God. Tonight I would like to look at how to do that business. Acts chapter 1, as well as a couple other places, gives us a very good picture of what a business meeting should look like among the church. Acts chapter 1, to be honest with you, I think it would be better for us to start would be verse 15. Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and it says, "And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue Acheladama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two that thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots, and the number fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray this, that this be one of our many times where we turn to your book, and Lord, we make sure that our processes, make sure that the way that we're doing things match the way you've asked us to do them. Father, I pray that this be a fun and not entertaining, but Lord, educational look into how the church should operate. And I pray, Lord, that you bless this church to always work in unity. Lord, always work together. The Father, we would be good stewards. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As we are looking here, we see the very first part of this meeting. Any meeting, any business meeting, should come from a need. Anytime we vote on something, it should be because we have reason to do so. Thinking quite recently, Brother Mike went out. We've been looking at the costs for doors, and Brother Mike went out, and he's got some costs for two steel frame doors. And what'll happen probably, Lord willing, next week is I'll bring that before the church, and I'll say, hey, listen, we got this option, and we got the other options. Which one would you like to do? There is a need. You go down to that door down there. And if you don't even have to go down there, just stand on the steps there, and you can see the need we have for a door over there. If you get up close to it, you'll see where some wood has chipped. We don't know when it happened, but it kind of looks like somebody tried to get in through there. And those wooden doors, it doesn't take much for a desperate man or just an inconsiderate man to push those kind of doors open, get those things banged out. So we would like to put a steel frame door to protect the things that the Lord has. So we have a need. When we voted to do the steeple, when we voted to do the fence, all the things that we've done started with a need. As we do the Lord's business, needs will come up. In this particular case, Peter stands up and says, hey, listen, what happened with Judas was prophesied. And it had to happen in order for the Lord to be betrayed into the government, for them to put him on the cross. These things need to have happened. However, in that prophecy, it is told that his job must be taken by another man. They had a need. Brother Mark Clark down there in Tennessee. They had a brother there who was doing a lot of jobs. They didn't just choose to honor him. Brother Hamill got up and he gave what I think is probably one of the best descriptions of the job of a deacon I've ever heard. These are the needs this church has. This man has been doing these jobs. So let's give him that title of deacon. Why? Because he does the jobs. Does that make sense? We forget what the word deacon means. We've institutionalized it. Oh, it's a place of honor within the church. No, it is a place of work within the church. The very first ones you see, it was not because, hey, listen, we've got some great and prominent men. Hey, we've got some big time givers here. We need to honor them. No, we've got some widows who are not being taken care of. We need some guys we can trust to sort that out. Now, who is it? They had a need, and that caused them to come together and have the discussion. Now, as we look at the process of the discussion, we learn a lot. You got to go slow. You got to look at this. Turn my page here. Forgive me. Verse 21. Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. Peter stood up and he said, this is what we're looking for. We are looking for somebody that has been with us during this time. Someone from the baptism of John to now who has been with us, who knows, that can come and join the 11 to become the 12. He gave very specific instructions. In there, we see a pattern where the pastor stands before the church and says, hey, listen, folks, what we need is a brand new this or that. What we need is to reseal the parking lot. What we need is this to be done on the fellowship hall roof. He gets up and this is what we're looking for. All right, and these are the parameters. Now, why does the pastor set the parameters? Because it is the pastor's job to make sure that what happens honors God. This job, this 12th disciple, this 12th witness job would not go to the highest bidder. It would not go to the most popular person. In order for them to be a witness, they must have seen some stuff. We are looking for somebody with some familiarity of what we are doing here. When we do that, if ever we've got a position that we're trying to get somebody into, whether it's a teaching thing, we're trying to refill a role within here in the church, it is not something we do flippantly. Well, hey, you're a sturdy-looking individual. Why don't we have you do it? No, it takes parameters. It takes prayer. We need to make sure we're honoring God with it. So the pastor steps up and he says, hey, listen, this is what this role is. This is what it should be. When somebody comes to do the work on the church, it is the pastor's job to meet with them and say, listen, this is the Lord's house. We won't take no drinking. We won't take no smoking. We won't take no cursing. Well, you're going to have a hard time getting people to, this is the Lord's house. I don't care. Well, don't you think you're trying to over-control? No, I'll be honest with you. There's a lot of things I don't know. I rely on you folks. I got no shame in saying that. I have a lot of stuff I don't know. I rely on people who've been around the block. But there's some things that must be done accurately and properly. And honoring God's house, that's my job. So when they come in and we get bids, I want to make sure that they're going to honor this house. I want to make sure that they're going to treat this place with respect. So no matter what the job is, no matter what it is that we're voting on, the pastor stands up and says, all right, this is what we are looking to do. He is the natural leader. Now, Peter was not the pastor. He was one of the 12. It just so happened that Peter talked the most. You know what I mean? So, well, who wants to go up there and bring everybody together? There's Peter. I got a big enough voice. Let's go. He stood up. This is the need. This is what we've got to do. And what did everybody do? They said, okay, all right. And we see the number of people that were there. And Peter lays out, this is what we expect. This is what we are looking for. And then what happens? Verse 23, and they appointed two. They appointed two. Now, me, from my days in property management, I like to have three bids. I like to have three bids. I like those people who do bids. I like to know that they've done good work. I like to know that they are insured. And I like to know what kind of person they are before I let them on and trust with the assets that I was supposed to be protecting. You know what I mean? I didn't know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff, but I knew people. And I could tell real quick what kind of sort they were going to be, what kind of issues I was going to have based on their ability to get certain information to me. All right, give me your insurance. Right? Well, I don't, you know, all right, don't worry about it. Well, call me when you get insurance. Well, I just normally don't like to show it to people. It's okay, I'm bashful too. I'll call somebody else. Just my thing. So I like to have a certain number of bids. Why? Because it gives us opportunities to compare things. I have learned from people giving bids and things. I have learned from different perspectives of different people as we're trying to decide who should do what work. You benefit from that. And it gives the church the opportunity to voice their opinion. And folks, if you take anything from this, I'll give you two things I hope you take. Number one, everything we do in this house ought to be to honor God. And number two, you need to voice. You need to speak up. And not just with our words, but with our actions. Hey, I think we ought to build this. I think we ought to do that. Please be here on the day we go to do that, if that's your opinion. Not that we've had a problem with that here in this church. I'm not trying to correct issues. We're just preaching. We're just covering material. But if that's our opinion, please make sure we're there. I've been a part of groups like that. Well, I tell you what we need to do is we need to dig out a big old fire pit and we need to do this and we need to do that. Okay, fine, we're going to do that next Saturday. And that person is gone. It's like, well, this was your idea. And guess what happened when the work's all done and they come up on Sunday, they go out there to look at it, you better believe they weren't happy with the work that was done. Well, I don't know why you guys did that. I go, come here, I'll tell you why we did it that way. Because you weren't here to tell me the right way to do it. If we're going to be a part, let's be a part. What was that I heard one time? Critics are people who hide during the battle and then come out and shoot the survivors. I can't remember who said that, but that stuck with me. That's what a critic is. You were nowhere when the work was being done, and the only real work you did was to come out and say how you just hated everything. You sit there and you get a bunch of guys together and you paint the wall and everybody stands back and they say, oh, that's a good job, everybody. Hey, that's real nice. And then somebody comes over, that is the ugliest color I've ever seen in my life. Where were you when we were asking what color do you want? So we need to voice our opinion. And you know what we need to do? We need to voice that opinion and do the work. But we need to voice our opinion before the work is done. Right, we have this thing when I like to have access to the GPS in the car, because when I have help, I'm not trying to pick a fight with my wife, but every now and then I get told we need to turn long after that turn has passed us. Right, I'll be midway through the street. We need to turn here. No, we need to wait. We'll go over there. We'll turn around. We'll come back again. We'll try it again. That's what you see so often. The job will be done. The paintbrushes will be hung up to dry. We'll have gone home and showered and changed our clothes. And somebody goes, well, you know what I was thinking we could do? Could do? We're done. Well, nobody asked me. We had four meetings about this. We chit-chatted about it often. You knew we were going to be doing it today. What happened? Well, nobody asked me. Be it known that as church members, you should not require an invitation to speak. It is open. You don't need an invitation when it's your responsibility, right? If the dishes need doing in my house, my wife doesn't send me an invite to do it. She doesn't come and say, hey, Matt, guess what? Lucky day. I have selected you to do the dishes. That's not the way it goes in my house. I reckon it's probably not the way it goes in your house. When the work needs doing, it's your house, you're there, it's your responsibility to handle the work. Amen? So we need not. I've known people like that. They're just persnickety. They'll say nothing until the last minute. And then, well, since nobody asked my opinion, we've been talking about this for an hour, and you said nothing. We don't give invites. If your name is written on the rolls of this church, voice an opinion. And ladies, I know that when we're in General Assembly, you're not permitted to speak by the Scriptures, but that shouldn't stop you from grabbing us when we're not in a congregation. Hey, Pastor, as we're doing that, I just want to let you know, I know somebody at work who did that, and this was share some wisdom. Share some experience. Talk, well, you know, I'm just, no. Wisdom doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. You following me? Experience doesn't care if you're a man or a woman. If you sit there and you know we're about to make a mistake, say something to somebody. Oh, no, we worked with them over there at work, and they made a massive mess over this. My boss said we would never use them again. Cost us so much money to undo what they did. Please say something. Instead of after it going sideways, going, ooh, you know what, I knew that, but I was afraid to say anything. Afraid of what? Please say something. They separated out two men, and they could compare, and they could look. We need wisdom to set up the options. We need wisdom to set up the options. And I knew that going into ministry at my age, there's going to be things like this. Despite my background, I still don't know. Well, brother, these are the parameters of the work that we need to have done. Oh, fantastic. I had no idea. And when I say that, I'm not being patronizing. There have been things you guys have brought up and said, this is the way it needs to be. And I said, fantastic, because I didn't even know where to start. I meant it. This is fantastic, because I was out in the weeds and you handed me a map. We need that. Well, you know, I voiced something. I voiced my opinion in the formation of things, and it doesn't always seem like people are interested. Listen, with a lot of people talking, you're not exactly going to get that kindergarten response all the time. That's a great idea. You know, I'll do that with Melody. She'll come up, she'll do something, and she'll show me something. She did that this morning with her Sunday school paper. And she had like all these colors mashed in together, and the center of it was black. And she goes, look! And I go, oh, baby, but that is so wonderful. She goes, it's creepy. And I go, yeah, it is. She goes, you like creepy? I go, I do, I like it very much. Mommy likes creepy. I go, Mommy doesn't always like creepy, but I bet she'll like that. She goes, Mommy likes it. Just walks away. With a bunch of people talking, it's not always going to go that way where we get direct feedback from each other. That doesn't mean you're not heard. It doesn't mean you're not valued. It doesn't mean that we didn't appreciate you saying something. Also, it must be said, it all depends on how we say it. Right? If we've got justice being brought up, well, here's a guy, I like justice a lot. You didn't even consider Matthias. Matthias is so much better. I don't understand why we're not talking about Matthias. We just put them both out there. You know what I mean? We got to watch how we come in. I'm grateful we've never had a burn down the church building meeting here, but I've seen them. I've heard about them. Where people are red in the face and hot to the temper, and they're screaming at each other, and it's unnecessary. And the thing, and they're putting more effort and energy into hollering at each other than what would be required to do the actual thing they're voting on. Well, I think it ought to be this company. I don't think it ought to be that company. Listen, if we get to raising our voices over stuff, just step out. We put it off a week. Till we get the real problem out of the way. They brought up two options. It would have taken consideration. It would have taken time. It would have taken people to voice their opinion. And there you have Matthias and Justice. Now listen, I have been a part of different committees and different groups. As I was trying to work my way up the corporate ladder over there at Paragon Properties, I was just part of different things, partly so I could learn. Partly so I, you know, there were some things that I had done they asked me to be a part of so I could show them how I did it. there have been 100, maybe 1,000 ideas that I've thrown out there for folks, and I've watched those ideas die. And that's okay. I've watched people take part of my ideas, add something better to them, and make it something completely different. And I've loved it. I have seen everything in between of acceptance and rejection. And I tell you what, that's how it works. You get an idea, somebody else gets an idea. We get these things together till the best possible thing comes out. When we are doing the Lord's business, we can never be offended that it didn't go exactly our way. Right? Well, we have Matthias, we have Justice, but what about my son Ezekiel? Nobody considered Ezekiel over here. Right? Well, what about Tom over here? Nobody thought about Tom. Oh, I hate this church. Nobody considers the things I want. We are a part of one body. And we don't always want to do the same thing, but once the Lord leads in a certain direction, we need to work towards that direction without having our feelings hurt. And again, I wish I was joking. I'm using illustrations like paint and remodeling things and what kind of light fixtures to get. But folks, that's the stuff that burns churches down. Not because of the thing, but because of the pride and the hurt feelings within the church. You know, if Brother Tony over here, he wants a thing, Brother Tom over here is going to disagree with him just because he doesn't like Brother Tony. We can't have that. Somebody's sitting there going, well, I had a great idea and nobody appreciated it. Maybe we did. Maybe it just doesn't fit where the Lord's leading most people. That happens. Well, they took part of my idea, but they didn't take the rest of it. It's not about how much of our ideas get used. It's not how you feel validated or don't feel validated. It is about the best possible thing being done in God's house. And we got to put some pride aside. We got to put some hurt aside. Now, again, there's going to be times when the church can collectively, if they're not paying attention to the Lord, the church can collectively make a mistake. That happens. Where there's one right guy and a bunch of other people who just lost their minds and then did something completely different. And a mistake takes place, or something that was done forcefully that should have taken more time, or whatever have you. There will be mistakes. Maybe one guy is right, which is why we need the next part. Verse 24, and they prayed. And said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. Lord, you tell us what you want. And folks, that takes us out of it. You know, so-and-so wants blue, so-and-so wants green. But Lord, show us which way you'd like. Well, how's the Lord going to show us blue or green? I don't know, man. I've seen the Lord do stuff. You sit there, well, we either want this fixture or we want that fixture. And you show up and you go buy them, and the guy behind the counter goes, yeah, we're running a sale on this one today. We ordered too many of them, or too many of them showed up. Doesn't normally happen, but it happened. That one. The Lord has ways of showing us things, but we must be humble. We must come to them. As this church was looking for a pastor, you got together and did what? You prayed. Lord, what would you have us do? And there's when it comes down to that, there's no room for pride. There's no room for self. It's, Lord, strip away my sin. Make me wise, show me clarity, that, Lord, we may make a decision that you would make. Lord, tell us what you want us to do. And when we can selflessly and boldly pray that, the answers and unity comes a whole lot easier. When we give it to the Lord. And again, the offense drops, and you know, I've done that before. Hey, listen, I don't want to start talking about it, but I want you guys to pray on this. And I think the most recent time I did that, the lease on that we have with the golf course, it's coming to an end at the end of the year, and I asked the church, pray on what the Lord would want us to do with that. Well, I think we should. Oh, no. Don't think yet. Pray.
What do you mean don't think yet? Don't think yet. Pray. Lord, as we make the decision whether we're going to renew the lease, how that lease is going to be written, because I'll be honest with you, I've seen the old lease. I've seen a few leases in my day. We're not going to have the exact same one. I'm going to add some stuff to it. There's going to be some clauses in there. There's going to be some things going on there. Right? Because technically, as that's our land, we've opened ourselves to some vulnerabilities. Does that make sense? As far as what happens when somebody gets hurt on that patch. You know what I mean? So there's some things, if we're going to rewrite a lease, we need to have in there, and I need some time to kind of look over what it's, what kind of things you put in a land lease like that. And we'll get that, and we'll sign it. Or if we decide to sell it to them, or if we decide to do something else. But don't think. Pray. Because you will dream yourself away from God's will. You will plan and think and do worldly business instead of considering God's will. Think about the difference between Saul and David. Saul did business as a king as though a man who would do it. David was a king after God's heart. Does that make sense? When I step in, well, the best thing for us to do financially from a business perspective would be this. There's a problem. We're not a business. Everything we do, down to anything like that, needs to be in God's hands. Amen? That's His land, not my land. That's not Paragon Properties back there where I could slap a new lease together and this is what I think we ought to do and the exchange rate is this and let me call around, let me do a market survey and square footage wise, land like that is worth this. Your income is this per year, which means you're making about, you know, divide it down by their acreage. This is how much per acre or how much per square foot you're making off of that land. So we'll put that and we could do that. But we're not a business. We must consider the Lord. Now, if that's what the Lord wants us to do, amen, let's do it. But I ask specifically for certain things. Don't think yet. Pray. Oh, I can already tell which way He's going to go with this. No, you don't. Because I'm not thinking. I'm praying. Because again, I'm from that background. I'm already thinking, man, that is a low cost for land. It's not a lot of land. That's a low cost for it. You know what? We could really be getting it. It's already going. Whoa. Lord, before I get that far, let's you and me talk on this. Let me make sure my heart's right. Let me make sure my mind is where it should be before I go chasing after things. So very simply, there's going to be times when I, as the pastor, stand up and say, hey, this is on the horizon. Don't think, pray. And then there's going to be things where I'm going to tell you, hey, it's closer on the horizon than we expect, right? It's coming at us fast. Pray, but we need some ideas. We need some plans. We need some scope. We need some specifications. Let's get things going, right? The doors. It's going to get cold. Brother Dennis and I are a little concerned about what life's going to be like under the new regime if things go democratic. Just a little concerned about, let's shore up our doors, make sure everything's nice and secure. That's my opinion. Weather's changing. We don't want all that cold air coming in here, jacking up our gas bill. No, no. Let's make those things right. We need to get that done quick because even though it's going to be 90 degrees tomorrow, this is Michigan. We don't know what's going to happen next. So now, think and pray. Think and pray. All right, we got the bids. Right? We got the bids. You know, some of the men got to hear the number. It's about $1,044. If we buy the two steel doors outright, we got to put them in ourselves. We got to paint one of them. $1,044, it's from, is that after or before the rebate? Before the rebate, 11% rebate, we turn that in, get some paint for the door, maybe change the hardware to slate like we're talking. We'll do it. Or, as of right now, because we're not voting on it, pray. Pray. That is how the business gets done. Humbly, contritely, repenting of our sins, asking God to clear our mind. And then we pull the trigger. then we do the thing. We can't do God's business until we're capable of doing business with God. And with sin in our hearts and conflict in our minds, it is impossible to pay close enough attention to what God wants from us. We quench the spirit, so to say, when there is sin and derision in our hearts and minds. Moving forward in this prayer that they prayed, verse 25, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. I'm going to say something that's going to sound like nonsense, but I'm going to clarify. A vote should be a vote. A vote should be a vote. If we're voting for doors, it should be about doors. If we're voting for someone to take a new position within the church, it should just be to put a person in that position in the church. It shouldn't be about anything else. Let me specify. We shouldn't make that decision to satisfy somebody who's upset. We shouldn't make that decision because we're trying to honor a long-term member. We shouldn't make that decision because the person who we've hired to come and do the work is related to one of us. You following me? It should be about the business we are about. So when they prayed, show us which one that he may do this specific job. Not to honor so-and-so, not to make this family feel good, not to reward these people for having done this. No, that this work of yours may be done. And we are specific about it, and we are, I don't want to say cold about it, but that's pretty much what we've got to be. We've got to be calculated. We are doing this to honor God and for nothing else. Now, there's going to be moments where it does make people happy. There's going to be moments where the greatest bidder, the person with the greatest bid, is related to one. That's going to happen. Or it could be, well, you know, this person's been a member of the church for a very long time. They've done a lot of things. All right, well, we're voting to give them this responsibility, not as a reward, but because this job needs to get done. But there's going to be moments like that where it's like, yeah, of course it's you. But we always want to make sure our motives and the purpose of our vote fits what God has given us, fits the need that we have specifically. Again, praying, seeking the Lord's answer in it, and making sure that what we're voting for is actually what we're voting for. Not like our Congress. Well, we're passing a bill. What's this bill for? Well, this bill doesn't allow liquor sales within this distance of a school. Awesome. How many pages is it? 4,000. Why is it 4,000 pages long? Oh, well, we threw some other things, compromises, things that we worked out, extra stuff in there. Just so we, you know, just put a lot of pork in there. Listen, unless I actually get to eat bacon, there ought not be any pork. You know what I mean? It makes no sense. No side benefits. No, hey, listen, this will kind of be nice, and well, they might not be the best answer, but it is the answer that's going to cause unity. No. What should cause unity is a desire to please the Lord. If you're not there, don't make a choice. Don't make a choice. Church is out there looking for pastors. Well, how do we go about first? What do we do first? How do we start bringing in men and doing this and that so we can find a pastor? That's not what you do first. Personally, you need to get down on your knees before God and repent of your sin. You need to fix your Bible reading. You need to fix your prayer life. You need to fix that. Then the church comes together. If there's any grievances, you need to clear the air on that. You need to make sure there's no dirt in the church. You need to make sure there's no open issues. All the problems have been solved. And then the church prays together. And they pray together. And they pray together. Begging God, asking God. There ought to be fasting. There ought to be consternation. Sorry, not consternation, but great determination in our prayers. And then you get to start doing the work. How come so many of them haven't? Because they're having a beauty pageant for pastors, I'll tell you. They want a pastor that requires $0 to have. He needs to be the best preacher ever. He needs to be young enough to do all the work, but he needs to be old enough to be respected from a biblical knowledge perspective. He needs to be right around 40 years old with 60 years of experience. You following me? He needs to have the body of a 20-year-old, the mind of somebody who's been in the ministry for 35 years. Right? He needs to be great with the teens. He needs to be fantastic with the elderly people. He needs to have 4 kids that don't eat. I've seen some of these churches. I'm sitting there. I've been there before where a church says, hey, listen, we'd love to have you, but to pay for your insurance would just be too much. And I sat there, I go, well, who asked you to pay for my insurance? Who asked you to do that? You know, I'll be honest, in my mind, when I thought of going into the ministry, I thought I'd have to go start, we'd go start a church out of Flat Rock. Or I thought I'd be going to a church with just a handful of members, trying to start again somewhere. That's what I considered. I didn't consider this. I didn't consider the blessing you guys have brought upon our lives. And no minister, nobody who goes to serve God, ought to expect certain things. Right? I had a boss one time, John Hamlin. If you don't know John Hamlin, good. He is one of these independent fundamental type Baptists who go around, but he's Arminian. He's Arminian. And he goes around and he preaches, and he's more of a character than he is anything else. But I used to work with his wife. And his wife would talk about how certain churches would ask, well, what is their speaking fee to get him to come? She says, apparently a lot of preachers have speaking fees. I go, why? You know, there's a conference down in Florida I was going to go to until I saw how far off the rails they'd gotten down there. Well, why do you charge to come to your conference? Oh, well, it's to afford the speaking fees of the people we've got coming. Mercy. Listen, no church ought to be held to the necessity to come and hire a preacher like a motivational speaker. That's not his job. Right? To me, it's ridiculous. But that's why a lot of churches, they don't have pastors, because they don't know how to go about getting one. They've got open sores in the church they've never mended. They've got hurts, and they've got frustrations, and they've got bitterness that needs to be rooted out. So no, why would the Lord move them forward without handling those things first? Not that we would ever be perfect. Not that we would ever be completely without sin, but we can get there and hold that position for as long as we can. But they prayed. Verse 26, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Now, lots has had different definitions down through biblical history. In this particular case, if they're giving their lots and the lot fell upon Matthias, that is a vote. You are looking at the church voting. This is there. It didn't say all of one particular kind. It didn't say the deacon board. It didn't say that the authority that they set up over it. Who voted? They did. Who are we referring to? The 120 some odd people that were there. They voted. How many for Matthias? How many for justice? All right, it's Matthias. We see our church polity, our practices, played out in the first church. Well, where do you see people acting like that in the scriptures? Have you read the scriptures? Look. There they are voting. But notice how the voting was the very last thing done. They didn't vote and go, now hold on, hold on. Chuck wasn't here. Hold on, hold on. So-and-so, this family was on vacation. Hold on. No, they voted. And that was it. You know, they didn't sit there and vote and then, all in favor? And any opposed? Okay, there's none. All right, any discussion? I just don't understand why we don't wait for Brother Anthony. We got, and now, That's not the order. Prayer, stewardship, that looking around, being good, being mindful, wisdom, all. Then we pray. These are the things we need to do. And then we make the decision. We need to make sure that we are working together as a unit throughout the decision process. I'm going to tell you something, and again, most pastors won't do this, and I'm probably making a mistake, but hopefully it's not too big of a one. If it looks like I don't know what I'm doing when it comes down to some stuff around here, it's because I don't. I don't. What pastor was in charge of making sure the widows got food? What pastor was in charge of seeking out and separating out people from the church to be the first deacons? What pastor did that? Do you remember? Of course you don't, because it doesn't say. Because they didn't do anything. They said separate. They talked to the church. They told the church, separate us out these men. And they presided over it. And they put these things together. And they ordained these men to do that job. Why is the pastor not always going to be the best one to make decisions on everything? Why don't we just let the pastor make the decision? Because his job is that book. Now, should I be ignorant? No. If we're out here slinging wood chips, you better believe I want to be out here slinging wood chips. If we're going to be out here pulling out doors, you better believe I want to be there pulling out doors. But there's a problem when you've given your life to the study of the scriptures. It leaves very little room for you to know a whole lot of other stuff. Somebody say, well, so are you like a jack of all trades? No, I'm like an Ernest P. Worrell of all trades. I know just enough to make it funny. Why, he doesn't seem to know what he's doing at all. Yes, because I'm a pastor, not a contractor. Well, back at COVID, there was a lot of frustration during COVID. He doesn't seem to know what he's doing at all. Yes, my theology degree did not come with a medical degree. I checked the bag, wasn't in there. I could print one out, you know, a medical degree. I could make one and print it out. But this isn't the Wizard of Oz, and that's not how degrees work. You got to go to the school, and I did not. That's why I turned to the people who have that knowledge. Hey, what do you think? Why is he always bothering me? Because he doesn't know. Why does it seem like he's so slow on it? Because he's having to learn something he knows nothing about. I'd sit there and I'd watch my pastor, and I'd hear people in the church. He's taking a long time to think about that. He's taking a long time to make a decision on that. He's not just sitting there going, He's having to look up things he knows nothing about. I watched him make phone calls and talk to different people and give himself a crash course education. And for those of you who are experts in anything, you know how little a crash course education actually does for you. But that's what happens. But here's the other side of that coin. You don't disrespect the pastor for not knowing. Because when the Lord moves the church, you got to think of the church like a pan. And the pastor's a handle. He's part of the church. But he's what the Lord grabs a hold of to move the church around. Right? So don't ever treat him like he's an idiot because he doesn't know. You have to remember, his job is to connect you to the Lord through this book. Well, he doesn't know anything about asphalt, so... Don't bring me in. How do young men become experienced men? You following me? Tag me in. Well, you don't know anything. Why would I'm not that big of a burden. They say, I hope not. I know I can be a little distracting. I know I can be a little goofy sometimes. But I know when to shut my mouth and pay attention. Bring me along. You're not going to be here forever. Somebody's got to be here to teach the next young dogs. Don't ever look at me and go, well, don't ever devalue me. You got to remember, this is it. Now, if I'm messing up here, then you come after me. Because now I'm messing up. All right, now listen, there's going to be some things I'm going to say something slightly wrong. I'm going to lose track of my sentences every now and then. That's, give me some grace. When you speak as many words as I do in a minute, a few of them are going to come out sideways. I still distinctly remember claiming that the book of Job does not exist. You still remember that till the day I die. A lot of people think, a lot of people tell stories about when people die. Oh, I was there, and brother so-and-so said this, and you could already tell they were looking into the other side of heaven. I'm still going to be sitting there going, what's wrong with you? You know, I think visits me in my sleep. When you speak as many words as I do, small mistakes will take place. Watch me for the big doctrines. If I'm messing up on doctrine, then you can sit there and say, there's something wrong here. But folks, until then, we need to have that respect. I've seen men of God beat themselves to death to make sure their congregation didn't know they weren't doctors. They weren't contractors. They weren't plumbers. Now, Brother Reynolds, he is a plumber. He got called out. He had that. Brother Hugin, he was an electrician. You know, he wired up HVAC units, and I've known a lot of men who were called from jobs where they had ground. I mean, they had knowledge, and they come in, but then they get hit with a, well, Pastor, it's COVID. Should we have church in the church or outside of it? Well, how do we fix this? And he's got to sit there and pretend like he's got a medical degree. I think I'm too transparent to play games with you. You already know. So that's why the church needs to work together, and we need to work together through these steps. Amen. And we need to have respect for each other. We need to have respect for each other. When we get in these meetings, let's not talk over each other. Let's not run over each other. Let's not get mad at each other. You know what I mean? I want you to consider this. Look at the distance between Brother Mark and Brother Eugene over here, Brother Vickerman. That's a big gap, isn't it? We're talking across a room this big. And psychologically, that's already charging. Also, look at how many people are in this room. Not as many as we'd like to have in this room, but when you stand up and we're talking in this room, you are public speaking, and that adds a different level of anxiety to it, doesn't it? And we don't always have access to all the things we would like, all of our notes, and we can't look things up while we're sitting here. We can, but we always feel like there's a time constraint in this room, don't we? So we're all under pressure. Take a breath and calm down. What I'd like for us to do is I'd like to consider, before we come together having a business meeting, I'd like us to have a pre-meeting. Because I've often found myself coming to you guys saying, of all the random conversations I've had throughout the church, this seems to be the consensus of our thought, just for me to find out that that is not the consensus. And that goes up my nose. You know what I mean? That irritates me. I'd like for us to kind of sit down ahead of time. We need to design things like scope of work, what we want to have, what we don't want to have. And I'm not trying to stir things up here, but I want to bring up painting the barn. It is easy for us in a meeting like this, and forgive me for being blunt like this, but it's just us chickens. It's easy for me to say, let's just paint the barn. But when I look at the bid that we got, they're removing caulking, they're replacing things, they're power washing, they're doing all of these things. It is important that if we decide to do it ourselves, we consider what all needs to be done before we do it. And then when we look at the price, we get bids, and it comes in at $10,000. And I don't know about you, but I was just a little flustered. For $10,000, I'll shoot it with a paintball gun. I don't... No. But then what can we do in these meetings? We could take a step back and say, all right, do we really need the whole thing painted? You know what I mean? Before we throw it onto the before we put it onto the frying pan, let's take a look at what we're doing. And I'd like to start doing that. I'd like to have a pre-meeting. I don't know exactly how we're going to do it. Pray on that. Where we get these things together. And if we feel we're not quite ready, we don't have enough information, we'll get that information. We'll come back. We'll talk about it a second time. We'll still have our set business meetings where we learn what's in the bank account, how things are going, what's the current state of stuff. But we won't always be able to hash things out there. I want them pre-hashed. Does that make sense? So we can get these things together. And the reason why is this. Number one, we want to honor God. And we can't honor God when our notes and our thoughts are all over the place. We need to have the next part, and that's unity. I've seen churches rip themselves apart over the carpet. And what they were voting on wasn't even good carpet. You know what I mean? I've seen church members go at it over the color they're going to paint something. We can't do that. In order for us to honor and please God, we can't do that. So we must follow these things and follow them diligently together. If we are to do business, I need to have my sin right with God. You need to have your sin right with God, or else we can't hear the Holy Spirit properly. We're not as sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we should be. And how can we make a decision without sensitivity to the Holy Spirit? So you get right, I get right. You stay right, I stay right. We don't let things get too far, too crazy. The moment you see something sneaking in, you take care of it. Why? Sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, being right with God. And then we are more movable. We are more sensitive to what God wants us to do. And then we get everything together. Hey, this is the need that we believe that we have. This is the need that the Lord has put upon our heart. This is the scope of what it is we're looking at. Here's our research. All right, through our research, we have learned that either Matthias or Justice are the best options. And then what do? We pray. Lord, which one would you have us to do? And then what? Then we vote. It is important for us to do God's business God's way. Why? Because we are passionate creatures. And we are prone to going foolish when our dander is up. If my pride and myself is taken care of before I come to do the Lord's business, it's going to be an easier time. If my heart and mind is in the business of the church, you know, sometimes you go through the motions and you might find yourself with just one foot in the church. You know what I mean? Like, I'm here, but I really don't care if we fix this or we do that. I don't really care if we do this or do that. If you're there, man, put both feet in. We need you. Oh, you don't need me. God wouldn't have put you here if we didn't need you. So obey. Obey the Lord. So we put our full selves in. We care about the business. We participate in the business. We show fealty and respect to God. We show unity and respect to each other. And we use all the wisdom God can give us before we make decisions. And again, I love that right there. Acts 1:1. Church is already voting. Again, just wonderful to see how little has changed from what we do to what it should be. Pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, we are grateful and humbled to be a part of your business. That, Lord, you would allow us to take care of the things that you've given us, and that, Lord, you've allowed us to bring things in and lay them, Lord, at your feet, that they, of course, already were yours, but, Lord, that we could dedicate them out from this world just to you. Lord, I pray that you help us to be the best stewards. Lord, desiring your way, and, Lord, desiring to be respectful, dedicated to working together in peace and harmony, so that, Father, we may honor you the best as possible with our decisions. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Page 150.